The Australian poet, writer and academic Maria Takalanda grew up hearing her parents' dark tales about their Finnish homeland. They were tales of exile, alcoholism, death, and surviving the winter war between the Russians and the Finns in 1939-1940. Dark stories, which Maria has now mirrored in her debut collection of short stories, which is called The Double. There are 8 stories in this collection in which emotional and physical desolation are often linked together. And you know what you're in for once you realise that The Double is also the title of a novella by Dostoevsky. His story is about a man whose doppelganger threatens to destroy him. Maria's protagonist is a woman hounded by a traumatic past. Here's Maria Takalanda speaking to Rhiannon Brown about The Double.
I guess that idea arose from being a lifelong reader. I've always read literature for the insights that it can provide me into situations in my own life. So when I started writing these stories, I always had in mind a particular way of understanding my life that had been provided to me by a particular story, and then it just evolved into being the driving concept for the collection.
So let's talk about the title story, The Double. That's based on a Dostoevsky title. Remind us what that story is about by Dostoevsky.
Well, it is about a man who discovers that he has a double, and it's not a pleasant discovery for him. His double is more successful than he is. He's more well-liked than he is. And in the end, he ends up being replaced by his double. So that was the literary inspiration for the story, but it also had an autobiographical element. So, you know, reading my own life through these stories. I grew up in a Finnish family who migrated here prior to my birth. I was carried in utero to Australia and born here, but I grew up very much in a Finnish household, listening to the stories that my parents told me about their Finnish childhoods. And those childhoods weren't always very easy. My mother's family were based in eastern Finland, which was annexed by Russia during the Second World War, and they were exiled. So it was quite a difficult time for them. And then my mother's father fought in the Winter War, in the Finnish-Russian War. So I grew up with stories about that experience of exile and the experience of that war. And one of the stories that always stuck in my head was one that my mother told me about her father, which was after the war, he would often drink. And when he was drinking, he would always rehearse this story about how he had killed this Russian fellow and he couldn't deal with it. He just couldn't come to terms with the fact that he had killed this other man. And so that was also the other informing
element. When you heard that story as a child, how did that make you feel?
I don't know. I don't know that as a child that you necessarily think about things in an altogether coherent way, but I was certainly affected by it. It certainly impacted on me, and I've always carried that with me. So,
well, this story, The Double, opens with the mystery of a woman who is half submerged in a body of water, and she's completely disoriented. And we don't really understand where she is or why she's there, and not sure she does either. And then gradually over the course of the story, she remembers past family members, brothers, her father, who've all died in fairly horrible ways. And this story is just soaked in water and snow that's melted and the odours that have come up from the soil after the snow melt. And mud. And that's where, for me, the horror and the discomfort come from, is this wet, horrible, cold landscapes that you evoke. Water is just so present throughout all these stories, in fact.
One of the wonderful things about talking to people about the book is I begin to see it in a different way, and I hadn't really been aware of water being that present. But it does make sense with that story. You know, I have spent some time in Finland, but, you know, as a child, I think what impacted me perhaps even more than my experience of those landscapes was the stories of those landscapes. Stories are so incredibly resonant to a young mind, in fact, even to an adult mind. And hearing about Finland, you know, it's the land of the lakes. There are hundreds of thousands of lakes in Finland. They also have very cold, snowbound winters, so there are those periods when there's a great deal of mud, when the snow starts to melt, and autumn is also incredibly rainy and wet and muddy. So that landscape has definitely been a very important one for me, even if I, for the most part, experienced it vicariously through my parents' stories.
One brother has died by drinking himself to death and is frozen, and then he thaws later, and that's when they find him because he's died in the snow. Another one has tried to drown himself in a lake. There's just water everywhere for me.
Yes. And again, you know, my mother was a fabulous storyteller, and, you know, those stories were often dark. You know, that there is this history of alcoholism in my family, and we have lost a number of members of my extended family to alcohol. And part of that surely is attributable to that dark history that Finland has, particularly around the time of the Second World War. And, you know, there was a whole generation of Finns there who were profoundly affected, profoundly unsettled and disturbed by horrific violence. So, you know, I think that, you know, there's an explanation for the problems with alcohol that a generation of Finns have, and my mother's family had. So that's an autobiographical element that's informing the double, yet another one. And also another great story she told me was an awful story, but it's a great story too, was about when they went swimming in summer in the lakes and near her home. And this one particular time, there was a young man who almost drowned in the lake, and her brother, my mother's brother, rescued him. He dragged him from the lake onto the shore, and my mother was watching, and she was appalled to see that this young man then wanted nothing more than to return to the water. And it must have been a state of confusion that he was in. But again, just another extraordinarily compelling story that haunted me always, that has always haunted me.
So let's then talk about another short story in this collection, The Three Sisters. That's clearly set in Australia. It's a marshland. What's going on in this story?
Well, it's set in a roadhouse in a fairly isolated town, and there are three Russian sisters who work in this isolated roadhouse, and they greet a couple of customers during the course of this afternoon, and each of those customers is quite isolated in his own way.
So you have a rather overweight truckie and a glassy-eyed older man. But it's in fact the setting of this roadhouse where there's few customers. One of the sisters never talks. She sits outside as if she's risen from the marshland or the mangroves itself. What were you sort of thinking about with that trio of women in this kind of environment?
Well, the story is to some degree based on Chekhov's play, Three Sisters, which is about three women who are displaced from their home, so who are in a kind of isolated or wayward setting. So that was always there in the background for me. But it is also the case that I worked in a roadhouse with three sisters, not Russian sisters. but three Dutch sisters they were when I was younger, and it was in a very swampy place called Turidan, which is where I spent some of my teenage years.
Which is a mangrove area in Victoria, not far from Melbourne.
Yes, it is. So again, you know, with this story, there are two things coming together, which is a text that has always stayed with me, with Chekhov's play, and then my actual experience in working in an isolated place with three sisters. How can I not bring those two things together? And the landscape, I suppose, is the most important thing for me about that story. And I'm fascinated by landscape. I'm fascinated by the mysterious impact that it can have on us. You know, I think we often overemphasize the idea that we're rational beings in control of how we're responding to things. And I think landscape is an example of how we're not rational beings. We respond in very sensory and irrational ways to our environments. You know, we're visual beings. You know, we respond according to what we're hearing, what we're feeling. And there's also something else, I think, and maybe that harks back to when we were pre-linguistic creatures, before language, you know, that our brains had this other way of responding or relating to environments, whether that was engagement or fear. But I've always been very interested in being attentive to how my body is responding to a particular environment, and trying to somehow express that in language is a challenge that I enjoy. And certainly those swampy territories, those swampy terrains are very interesting to me.
So what do you think that landscape does to your characters?
I think that it maybe highlights the transitory nature of their being, you know, that they are on the earth for a short period of time and, you know, they're unfortunately spending that time in this incredibly isolated and unfulfilling way. And unfortunately, you know, not all of us get to live our lives in an ideal state or circumstances.
Yes, I think you talk about the marshland country or the mangrove country sinking into nothing. Kind of like a sinkhole.
Yes.
They're in the sinkhole, aren't they?
Yes.
The three sisters.
Yeah, and it's an environment which isn't particularly giving or forgiving, you know, that they are very much intruders in that space. And, you know, if you do think about swamplands or marshlands have often been drained for human use, and yet they resist that attempt to master or control that space. You know, they're still constantly flooding and being flooded, and they're difficult places to live in, I think.
Since there's quite a bit of autobiography in your writing, I have to ask you, particularly also because you're a teacher of literature and creative writing, where do you see the challenge as a writer for yourself? What excites you the most?
When I was an undergraduate student, I was taught by Gerald Murnane, and he would always tell us to write what we know. That was his rule when it came to creative writing, to write what you know. So I took that on board, and for the first piece of fiction that I wrote for his subject, I wrote an autobiographical story. And I presented that to the class for workshopping, which is what usually happens in a creative writing program like that. And the feedback I got was that no one believed it. So it's clearly not just enough to write autobiographically. I think that, you know, you have to find other ways of engaging your reader, and that's possibly the most important thing and the most challenging thing for a writer to do. And I suppose my way of engaging the reader would be to combine what I know, some autobiographical elements, with how some other writer has managed to represent a similar scenario. So, you know, I'm quite explicit about using that tradition of literature to find a way to express things. And why not? It's there. You know, some of the best things that have ever been written are there for writers to look back on and try and find a way to understand their experience through the patterns and motifs and themes offered by those earlier works.
Lots to reflect on there. On RN, Maria Takalanda speaking with Rhiannon Brown. Her collection is called The Double, and it's published by Text.